Afternoon, and welcome everyone to Multnomah County's December Proclamation Ceremony. Thank you for everyone for taking the time to be here to join us for this occasion. Commissioner or Chair Vega Peterson and Commissioner Megan Moyer are excused due to a conflict and travel, so I'll be presiding over the ceremony today. Proclamations serve to honor, celebrate, and recognize groups and individuals for their services and achievements, or to raise awareness or significant issues affecting our communities here in Multnomah County. Today, we have three proclamations. They're being brought forward by commissioners, a county department, and a county employee resource group. These proclamations affirms Multnomah County's commitment to those in our community living with HIV and AIDS, remember the transgender and non-binary community members that we've lost to violence, and recognize the victims and survivors of genocide. In addition, we will also have the presentation of the 2025 Kathleen Sadat Community Advocate Award. Woo, yes, and we're honored to have Ms. Sadat here. To start our proclamation ceremony, I'd like to welcome our presenters for the World AIDS Day in Multnomah County's Oregon Proclamation to the dais. So welcome, please come forward. And before I pass it off to Scott and B for introductions, I want to say thank you to Multnomah County's Health Department for sponsoring this proclamation. And with that, Scott and B, please introduce yourself, any other guests, and we can proceed with the reading of the proclamation.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, commissioners. We really appreciate you. Thanks for having us. I'm Derek Smith. I serve as the Health Department's manager of the HIV Grants Administration and Planning Program. And we oversee the Ryan White program that serves the 6-county area in our region for folks living with HIV. I'm honored to introduce beside me two fierce advocates who help to ensure our work is grounded in the needs of our community members. I'll briefly introduce both of them. They've offered to share their experience, and then we'll go through and read the proclamation. Scott Strickland has decades of experience as a health and social services professional and has supported people affected by our carceral system. He is a member of our HIV Services Planning Council, and we'll share how the epidemic has unraveled in the commitment we renew to HIV services. And then up will be Bea Velasquez, who is a national leader for HIV services and women living with HIV and a fighter against stigma. As an ardent advocate, she works at all levels to ensure client voices are centered. Bea currently serves in two capacities, one on our HIV Services Planning Council locally, and also on the statewide HIV and HIV Oregon State Planning Group, where she's the chair. So let me pass it over to Scott.
So I saw my first patient with what we would eventually call AIDS more than 40 years ago. As cases of AIDS exploded, we expected that there'd be a robust public health response. But as the number of cases soared into the tens of thousands, we came to realize that silence equaled death for those of us in the communities at risk. Appeals to federal leaders were met with inaction and shocking prejudice towards the people who were suffering and dying. Local leaders, including here in Multnomah County, began to coalesce around the idea that we needed to respond to this crisis differently. It would be years, though, before the federal government would reluctantly follow these local leaders. And in many ways, the response to AIDS is still a local endeavor. AIDS is now a chronic, manageable disease, but let there be no mistake, it has not gone away. There continues to be new infections, untreated patients, needless disease progression, and death. 2 decades of changing social attitudes have lulled us into believing that we wouldn't deny sick people care based on who they are. Unfortunately, the language and behavior of some leaders now sounds very similar to what we heard in the 1980s. New infections continue to occur, people who would benefit from treatment are being denied, and unnecessary deaths are occurring. And we are drifting back to a time when social attitudes led to a blunted epidemiologic response and poor medical care. Just last week, the U.S. State Department directed that we refrain from any public proclamations of World AIDS Day, the first time since it was implemented in 1988. It's more critical than ever that we speak out now about this public health issue and renew our efforts to control it. Multnomah County has always been a leader in crusading for effective and compassionate care for AIDS. And now more than ever, we need to celebrate World AIDS Day and renew our commitment to testing, to prevention, and to treatment. Thank you. Bea?
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being here. My name is Bea Velasquez, and I am here as a client in our HIV care system and as an advocate. But more than anything, I'm here as someone who carries the stories, the losses, and the love of a community that has fought so hard. World AIDS Day is never just another day on the calendar. It brings up memories, some beautiful, some painful. It reminds me of the people I've held close, the people I've learned from, and the people I've had to say goodbye to far too soon. It reminds me that every one of us has walked through things that most people will never see or understand. And every one of us is still here, still pushing forward, still supporting one another, still fighting for our community. As a client, I know firsthand what it looks like to navigate stigma, fear, and the weight of not knowing if you'll be treated with dignity when you walk into a clinic or a hospital. I know what it feels like to need support, and that isn't always easy to ask for. And I know what it feels like to be lifted up by community, peers, and programs, and providers who don't just offer services, but they offer connection, compassion, and a reminder that we are human beings with full lives, not just a diagnosis. As an advocate, I see every day how much our community is caring. People balancing families, health system, health, work, and survival, often while navigating stigma, instability, and systems that were not built with their realities in mind. So many are doing their best in a world that gives them barriers instead of possibilities and opportunities. And yet, I see the strength of our community, strength shaped by lived experience, by resilience, and by refusal to be erased. Without programs like Ryan White Health, Ryan White Services, the Health Services Center, case management, and culturally grounded support, many of us would fall through the cracks. These services do more than treat HIV. They keep people housed, connected, supported, and alive. They allow people like me and so many others to thrive instead of simply survive. Today's proclamation carries weight beyond its words. It reflects the county's commitment to acknowledgement and the challenges faced by our community and the perseverance that has shaped our progress. It recognizes the advocates, the clients, the caregivers, and the leaders who have driven change, people who refused to be silent, who demanded care, and who fought for funding. In a world where it has turned its back on us, this work is not just about preventing new cases or expanding services. It's about building a world where people living with HIV can thrive openly, safely, and proudly. A world where stigma no longer holds power. A world where culturally responsive care is the norm. A world where the voices of people living with HIV are not only included, but centered in every decision that shapes our health, our well-being, and our future. This proclamation stands as a public commitment to that vision, a commitment to equity, compassion, and true partnership with our community. As someone who has lived this journey for most of my life, as a client who has relied on these services, and as an advocate who fights not only for myself and my family, but for every person whose voice is ignored or minimized, I'm here to say that our community is not done. We will continue to push forward. We will lead with strength, we will show up with love, and we will hold firm to the belief that every single one of us deserves dignity, respect, and a chance to live a full and meaningful life. I'm deeply honored here to be here today, carrying forward the courage, the wisdom, and the legacies of those who came before me, uplifting those walking beside me now, and fighting for those who will come after us. Together, we will continue to build a future where our community is not only supported, but celebrated. Thank you. Derek?
Thank you both. Proclaiming World AIDS Day in Multnomah County. World AIDS Day is recognized each year on December 1st. As global citizens, we are all impacted by the ongoing epidemic of HIV and AIDS. We all have a status. This day serves to increase HIV awareness and knowledge and to stand with people experiencing stigma related to their HIV status. World AIDS Day is an opportunity to remember all those who we have lost, honor those who fought, and continue to fight for just and equitable access to high-quality prevention, treatment, and care, and commit to continue the progress that our communities need and deserve. The 2025 World AIDS Day theme is Overcoming Disruption, Transforming the AIDS Response. This community was born out of disruption. Amidst the initial outbreak in the U.S., community members, patients, and activists rose up in response to the egregious federal government indifference and inaction to the enormous suffering and nearly 450,000 lives that were lost to HIV/AIDS by the 1990s. These persistent collective efforts were critical to initiating local, regional, and eventually federal programs that were desperately needed and long overdue. It took nearly 2 years from the first AIDS case for a dedicated federal funding bill to be passed for AIDS research and treatment. This year marks 35 years of federal funding for comprehensive HIV/AIDS care and treatment. The Rhineway HIV/AIDS program supports Multnomah County's partnership with the Portland Area HIV Services Planning Council in this regional mission. This includes Clackamas, Columbia, Washington, Yamhill, and Clark County in Washington State. The Planning Council is a 30-member community-led group of people with lived experience, community advocates, and service providers. About half of the council members are people living with HIV. This diverse group works to ensure community voices are centered in regional HIV service decision-making. They help oversee a critical network of care for low-income people living with HIV. Today, we celebrate progress thanks to the tireless efforts of clients, community advocates, and service providers. People living with HIV who reach viral suppression can live long, healthy lives with no risk of HIV transmission. In 2023, 91% of clients nationally receiving HIV medical care reached viral suppression. Our regional rate is up to an impressive 93%. However, in 2023, Oregon and our region experienced an uptick of new cases, and persistent inequities require a transformative AIDS response. People of color, youth, and transgender women experience a disproportionate burden of new HIV and AIDS cases. A third of all new cases in Oregon are among people aged 25 to 34. People who use drugs and people with prior STI diagnoses are also at an increased risk. Our communities need ongoing dedicated support to gain and sustain progress amidst new and concerning threats to our overall safety net, the braided and interdependent funding that supports it, and to our most impacted community members themselves. We need syndemic approaches to prevention and treatment, including a robust, well-funded service system, harm reduction services, culturally responsive programs, and staff with lived experience. Multnomah County will stay committed to the End HIV Oregon strategy that 1, testing is easy, 2, prevention works, and 3, treatment saves lives. An integrated community approach is critical to address these disparities as the concurrent public health crisis of racism continues to harm our most impacted community members and populations. Multnomah County affirms our commitment to the health, well-being, and safety of people in our community living with HIV and AIDS with a range of county services. The HIV Health Services Center is a critical medical provider for people living with HIV or AIDS in the region, and the Behavioral Health Division's promoting access to hope PATH program helps ensure substance abuse treatment for vulnerable residents with co-occurring conditions, and we work closely with a host of other incredible community agencies. Multnomah County is fortunate to honor all of our siblings, neighbors, friends, and family affected by HIV through an ongoing display of a historic National AIDS Quilt panel at the Gladys McCoy Building lobby. The AIDS Quilt is a handmade and community-led commemoration of the resilient community members who bravely fought against this complex disease. Its ongoing presence in the public space serves as a daily reminder of collective remembrance, of honoring and learning from these powerful ancestors, so we too can take courageous action for a future that serves us all. In concluding an observance of the annual World AIDS Day on December 1st in Multnomah County, Oregon, we reaffirm and support for people living with and affected by HIV and remember those community members who have lost their lives to AIDS. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Scott and Bea, thank you for sharing your stories, and Derek for reading the proclamation and for helping Multnomah County elevate World AIDS and HIV Day. And we're going to sign the proclamation, and then we're going to take a picture. And I would ask that anyone in the audience who wants to join the photo to please join us in addition. So as soon as we sign it, we'll go over and get ready for the photo.
And I'd be remiss to not mention at 1 o'clock, after we see these other wonderful honorings, we'll have a reception in room 126 for anyone who's available. We welcome all of our friends.
All right, before we go to the next proclamation, I was just remiss because I did not see her when we introduced the last proclamation, but I just want to acknowledge Health Department Director Rachel Banks, who's here with us this morning, and the Health Department was the sponsor of the last proclamation. Thank you for joining us, Director Banks. All right, so up next, I'd like to invite our special presenters to the dais for the Transgender Day of Remembrance Proclamation, and also the Kathleen Sadat Community Advocate Award. I want to thank everyone for being here today, and also want to thank Commissioner Singleton and Moyer for co-sponsoring this proclamation. Commissioner Singleton, I'm going to ask you to take it from here for introductions and the reading of the proclamation.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I'm honored today to introduce the Trans Day of Remembrance Proclamation. This is a day where we honor trans people who have passed. Too often, trans lives are taken in violence and prematurely. This year, we have seen an onslaught of anti-trans policies and rhetoric aimed at erasing trans lives, history, and contributions. As I mentioned in October, Multnomah County has work to do to continue to support our trans and gender nonconforming staff. I am happy to hear and to share that the Chair's office has worked with the COO and the Office of Diversity and Equity to address previous requests from QDPOC and PRISM to move some of that work forward. I was also pleased to talk directly with the Chair to hear that those conversations are continuing and that we will be working on a resolution in the coming months, I believe, with you all as that work continues. So thank you for your continued dedication to making sure that people's concerns are being addressed. I want to thank PRISM and QDPOC for working with my team on this proclamation. And also today, we are joined by two very special women of color. We have Kathleen Sadat and Joelle Kim. Kathleen Sadat Community Advocate Award was created in 2018 and is hosted by Multnomah County's PRISM and Queer and Trans People of Color Employee Resource Groups. The award is named after Kathleen, who has been a vital leader in the local 2S LGBTQIA+ community and movement for decades. Kathleen is a Black Oregon civil rights leader with over 50 years of advocacy, change-making, and organizing locally. Her work is rooted in intersectionality and social justice. Some of her most notable accomplishments include, and definitely not an exhaustive list, organizing Portland's first gay rights march with six others in 1976, helping to craft Portland's civil rights ordinance prohibiting discrimination against gay and lesbian people and income-based discrimination, serving on the steering committee for the campaign against ballot measure 9, a profoundly divisive ordinance that would have effectively defined Oregon gays and lesbians as second-class citizens. The award is designed to recognize a leading member of the local 2S LGBTQIA+ community. Kathleen will be presenting the award for Joelle's tireless work to protect and advance 2S LGBTQIA+ rights and making Multnomah County a more welcoming and inclusive space. And we'll take a moment for the award before we move into the proclamation.
Oh, now it works. Okay. thank you. Good afternoon. And I first want to thank you for the public acknowledgement of our community in a time when it's critical that we continue to be public about embracing all communities that have been marginalized. I think this is so important because there are people who are tempted to fall away in their support of us because they're frightened or because they don't know what to do. So it is important that we have models that can show what people, what strength and courage look like. So thank you. The work of the recipient of this year's award has demonstrated a commitment to be of service. She has demonstrated the courage that it takes to be of service. It takes courage, especially when you're serving a community that is under attack at this point. If you look at Joelle's history, you'll see that she spent many years serving other human beings as a worker in mental health. But the thing that I love finding out about was how much she has done in the area of music and using music as a tool for healing other human beings. She's been an administrator. She's been an activist and is. her commitment when we talked to Q Center was to use the center as a place for healing, as a place for coming together, as a place for providing comfort and joy. This is a place where she can use her creativity, her compassion, her skills, and commitment to continue the work of bringing us together. And in that bringing of us together and bringing our community together, we also, in that, contribute to the larger community. We become a model, we create models, and we keep growing. And it's through people like Joelle that this continues to go on. So I am very pleased and honored with gratitude and respect to award you this.
Thank you so much.
Let's take a picture. We're going to take a photo. The cameras are bigger.
Oh, there we go.
Something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. And reading the proclamation today are Andy Cho. Oh,
okay.
Maybe before we do the proclamation.
Yeah.
To say a few words.
I would. Thank you. I would just like to thank a few folks.
and congratulations.
Oh, thank you. First, I'd like to thank Kathleen. Your advocacy, your work really paved the way for younger generations to carry on the work and their legacy. And so I just want to thank you for being here and for being such an important part of our community. Second, I would love to thank PRISM and QTPOC ERGs for their leadership within the county and for being a voice and support to county employees who identify as queer, trans, and people of color. This award would not be possible without the help and support of my colleagues at the Q Center, Lucero, Nixie, Lori, and the Board of Directors. And finally, this award belongs not only to me, but to the 2S LGBTQIA plus community of Portland, every person and entity fighting for justice, freedom, and joy. And lastly, with all due respect, free Palestine, fuck ICE, and fuck white supremacy. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then, again, congratulations.
Yes, and can we do a picture with them when we do the bigger picture, too? Do a picture with them when we stand up to do the other picture?
Yes, sure.
Awesome. I would love to be in a picture with you. And it's a beautiful award. Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Reading our proclamation today are Andy Cho, Chair of QTPOC, and Daisy Pullman, Chair of PRISM.
Hello. Proclaiming November 20, 2025 as Trans Day of Remembrance in Multnomah County, Oregon. There's been an effort from the federal government to erase progress in regards to transgender and non-binary rights. We especially uplift immigrant, transgender, and non-binary community members who have been harmed or killed in detention centers due to the increase in ICE activity in the US. Transgender Day of Remembrance was started in 1999 by transgender advocate Gwendolyn Ann Smith as a vigil to honor the memory of Rita Hester, a transgender woman who was killed in 1998. Rita's murder became the catalyst for honoring the lives and memories of transgender people lost to senseless violence, transphobia, self-harm, and structural inequalities. Anti-transgender violence has been declared a state of emergency by the American Medical Association. It is more and more common in our community, and although attention has been increasingly raised around this epidemic, our transgender and gender non-binary community members continue to be harmed, murdered, and too often than not, forced to live in fear. Our transgender and non-binary communities have endured decades of misery and anguish. Many have challenged and resisted this senseless bigotry by advocating for policies to address anti-trans bias and by living openly as their full selves. This bravery often results in tragedy and violence against trans and non-binary people. a disproportionately high number of those impacted were and continue to be trans femmes of color, specifically Black, Indigenous, and Latine community members. These incidences are unreported due to our region, state, and nation's history of systemic racism and transphobia.
Since November 2024, at least 27 trans and non-binary people have been killed in acts of violence across the United States. That number is not a complete representation of those killed by anti-trans acts of violence. While we must continue to pay close attention to the reports of transgender violence we receive, we must not solely rely on the number of yearly deaths to bring about necessary change. We must remind ourselves of our responsibility to look deeper into systemic inequities endured by transgender people every single day, and focus on developing policy solutions that address those systemic inequities. All who have lost loved ones to anti-transgender violence will forever be missed by family, friends, partners, colleagues, and the larger community. We will commemorate their lives by protecting, advocating, and uplifting those who are still with us while honoring those we carry in our hearts. Multnomah County proclaims November 20th, 25 is proclaimed to be Transgender Day of Remembrance. With this proclamation, we affirm our commitment to supporting our trans and gender non-binary communities, not just through the words, but also through action to address systemic inequities and by uplifting the tenacity of trans and non-binary individuals who have brought and continue to bring strength, beauty, and perseverance to our community, adopted this third day of December, 2025.
Thank you. We're going to sign the proclamation, then we'll take a photo. And again, we would encourage anyone who wants to join in the photo to join us over here by the flags. All right. Oops. Now we are on to our final proclamation of the day. I'd like to invite up our presenters for the International Day of Commemoration and Dignity of the Victims of the Crime of Genocide Proclamation. Thank you for being here. You want to come forward? And while you're coming forward, I just want to share appreciation to Chair Jessica Vega Peterson, Commissioner Vince Jones Dixon, Commissioner Moyer, and our Immigrant and Refugee Employee Resource Group for bringing this proclamation before us. Chair Vega Peterson is represented today by Ann Bowie. With that, I'd like to pass it to. Pardon? Pardon?
Okay,
With that, I'm going to. To pass it to Commissioner Vince Jones Dixon, who is one of the sponsors.
Yes, great. Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chair Brim Edwards. It's truly an honor to be one of the sponsors for today's proclamation personally. So I just want to, again, thank the board for actually creating the space since the beginning of the year as far as pausing for a day to do these proclamations. And in short, I think most of you know I spent about a year working in Rwanda from the state of Oregon, and I learned a lot about their unity and reconciliation process. And that started back in 2017. And my hope, one of the main things that I learned was just the challenges. One, what they went through. So most of you, if you don't know, Rwanda went through this horrific genocide back in the 90s, mid-90s, where over 1 million people were killed over the course of 90 days. But since then, Rwanda is known for their unity and reconciliation and the progress that the country has made. And it just didn't happen. It happened because of intentionality and good leadership, and because they actually worked through what led them to the genocide of the Tutsis. And it was a progressive genocide. And my fear, after learning about the process, is like I continue to see some of the same practices here over the last 20 years where I've been in public service work and post when I was in high school, and that's been a call of action to me, and I believe to the board as well. It's like, how are we creating the systems where we're, one, acknowledging, addressing, and ensuring where that doesn't happen here in Oregon, let alone Multnomah County. So again, I think the thing that I've been challenged over this past year, thinking about the struggles internationally, but specifically in East Africa around the Congo, it's just like, how are we serving the folks that are being indirectly or directly impacted by their family members around the things that are happening here or across the world? And we do have an obligation, actually, to address that, whether it's through mental health services and direct services, and that's one of the things that my office is working with the staff on. And just, again, I just want to challenge us to move beyond just the proclamation. I appreciate that, but also just the action. And that's one of the things that Ms. Sadat mentioned as well. So there's a lot to unpack. Beyond honored to take the space for the next 10 minutes to just sit and acknowledge all the things that we're going through internationally and then here locally. So thank you, board, for creating this space. And together, we will be the change that we want to see. And I'll pass it to you.
Thank you. My name is Ann Bowie. I work for Multnomah County Chair Jessica Vega Peterson, and I have a message from her that I will read. I'm sorry that I'm not able to join you all today for this important proclamation. I want to thank the many Multnomah County staff who have continued to advocate for this board to recognize and name these atrocities that persist in our world, including the present-day genocides against the Palestinian, Rohingya, and Sudanese people. I know that for some of you, the pain of these atrocities is personal, in which you carry even as you show up to serve our community every day. And for all of you, I know that your advocacy is fueled by a sense of justice and a desire to forge a better future for our world. These are also the values that guide our work here in Multnomah County, and I'm grateful for your efforts. Thank you also to my colleagues on the board for co-sponsoring this proclamation, and I'm especially grateful to our honored guests at the table and in the audience who are here to share their stories and represent the many communities impacted by genocide. Your courage and resilience is a strength for our county, and I'm glad that we can offer a platform today and next Tuesday at the bridge lighting ceremony to uplift your experiences. There is no perfect or right time to stand up for human rights and speak out against state violence. It is only important that we do so. Local governments are not exempt from obligations under international human rights laws, and in fact, as Volker Türk, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, says, local governments are the forefront of bringing human rights to all. Today, by giving pause to honor all the lives lost and pay tribute to all those who have suffered as a result of genocide, we are doing our part to achieve accountability and pursue justice for those victims and survivors of genocide here in our country, in our county, and across the world. And with that, I'll turn it over to our guests to introduce themselves, and then they'll take turns reading different parts of the proclamations. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here today. My name is Nurul Haq. I am a Rohingya youth. I am a Rohingya genocide survivor. I came December 4, 2023 in United States from a refugee camp in Bangladesh. I was born into a world that had already turned it back on me. My earliest memories are not of playground or classroom, but of crowded tents, rations, lines, and quiet grief that hung over refugee camp like a permanent shadow. I am a Rohingya, raised stateless, silent, and scared by a genocide that stole my homeland before I ever see it. I didn't choose to be a survivor, to be a refugee, to born as a refugee. I inherited survivor from my parents who fled burning villages and buried loved ones without graves in Myanmar, Rakhine State. I grew up surrounded by the stories of unimaginable loss, and I carry those stories in my bones. Every day in the camp was a lesson in resilience, learning without books, dreaming without rights, and hoping without promise. As a refugee in Bangladesh, I have faced countless barriers. I was never had the chance to access formal education. I had never had the right to vote and to be a test of a citizenship. I was denied access to formal education, restricted from moving freely, and excluded from the society around me. I have never held a citizenship card. I have never voted. I have never known what does it feel to belong. In Myanmar, my people were stripped of their identity, confined to ghettos and hunted by the every force meant to protect us. In Bangladesh, we were confined to camps, unable to walk, study, and build a future. We lived in limbo, forgotten by the world, remembered only when tragedy strikes. Today, I am speaking as a survivor, as a voice to demand justice. The Rohingya deserve more than survivor. We deserve dignity, rights, and a future. We deserve citizenship, education, freedom of movement, and a voice of in our own destiny. I am one of the million, but I speak today because silence has never protected us. I speak because the world must hear what it means to be born into exile and raised in the shadow of genocide. From today, I will request to stand with Rohingya. Rohingya are, they own the country. They have been living for decades and decades. My parents, my forefather has been living in Rakhine for years. But unfortunately, after 1982, the illegal law that made by the Janta government, they since 1982, we had been cut off all the facilities, all the citizenship. Before that, we all accompanied to independent the country. We all has been living there, all the ethnics were there, but it is 1982, they take off everything from Rohingya minority because we are Muslim. As a refugee, I spent 32 years in refugee camp. The shelter was 10 by 10 feet. We were 9 brothers and sisters in 10 by 10 feet. 11 people were total in the camp. I never had, as I said, I never had a chance to go to the government school and facility. Even in Myanmar, our youth cannot go to a school with their own name. They had to change their name. Fortunately, I was able to pursue my bachelor degree from a private university in Bangladesh. Although it was not easy for me, I had to change my name, I had to change my identity, everything. As a refugee, I was not allowed to go to school. Since I come here in America, the very beginning, I get approved to walk, which I never had since I born. After I come, within a few months, I got a job, which was just a dream of million people. This is called public job. I got a job in DHS office, Department of Human Services. Still, I'm working as a human public specialist, benefit specialist. So this all that how I belong to from beginning to the end today. I'm thankful to the United States and Multnomah County and every single American for giving me the chance to come here. And today I'm here to speak. Thank you so much.
I want to introduce myself. My name is Maxine Fuchsen, and I want to, before I start, I just want to say how proud I am. I had no idea of the other proclamations today, and it is an honor. I am so proud to be in Multnomah County, where we recognize such work and such dedication. Thank you. Thank you to Chair Jessica Vega Peterson, to your staff, and to all the Multnomah County commissioners for taking part in issuing this important proclamation. I'm honored to be here today with my fellow community members. My background. I'm retired from many years working as a pediatric nurse practitioner here with Multnomah County Health Department. So I have a deep commitment to our practice oath, which states, do no harm. I'm also Jewish, a member of Jewish Voice for Peace, and I'm here from our own historical legacy of pogroms, displacement, and of course the Holocaust. Historical events which are foundational to our beliefs that such atrocities must never again happen to anyone. I've been horrified over the past 26 months as Israel commits genocide in Gaza. As a Jew, I know that our freedom is inextricably linked to freedom and justice for the Palestinian people. The Talmud teaches us pikuach nefesh, which means to destroy a life is to destroy an entire world, and to save a life is to save the entire world. So let us make this proclamation a lived reality, working together until all are safe and free. Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum al-ikhwa al-hudur. Good afternoon, Chair, Commissioner, and honored guest. My name is Nazir Abu Zaid, President of the Sudanese Development Community in Oregon. It's an honor to stand before you today. For me, this day carried deeply personal meaning. I came from Sudan, a nation where far too many families have lived through war. I will say wars for a long time. Prosecution, displacement, and the threat of genocide. Like many in my community, I came to the United States seeking for safety, opportunity, and chance to rebuild a life for myself and my family. The journey was not easy, but it was guided by hope. Hope for peace, hope for justice, and hope for future, where our children never, never have to witness what so many of us have survived. Here in Multnomah County, the Sudanese community is part of a large global family of survivors, people who carry painful memories, but also incredible resilience. We know what it means to lose loved ones. We know what it means to feel, to flee home with nothing but courage. And we know what it means to rebuild with dignity, strength, and determination. Today, as the county marks the adoption of the Genocide Convention in 1948, we are reminded of its solemn promise, never again. Past genocide in Namibia, Armenia, in Europe during the Holocaust, in Cambodia, Bosnia, Rwanda, and Congo, along with the present-day genocide in Myanmar, Gaza, and Sudan, serve as stark reminders of the need for vigilance and action to uphold the treaties, principle, and ensure an end to impunity. Thank you for being here today.
Ladies and gentlemen, today I stand before you not only to speak about suffering in Gaza, but to share the personal grief that have forever scarred my family. My sister Marwa, a woman full of strength, warmth, and quiet courage, in September 25th of 2025, just 2 months ago, lost her life, not because of illness or age, but because she was denied the most basic necessity every human being deserves: food, clean water, and medical care. She died from hunger and from lack of treatment that should have been available to her. Her death was not natural. It was the result of a condition no human being should ever be forced to endure. And my brother-in-law, Amin, a gentle, unarmed, 81 years old man, was inside his own home, his place of comfort and safety, when he was shot repeatedly and killed, an elderly man, alone, harmed in a home, in a moment that should never have existed. These were not numbers. They were not nameless victims. They were Marwa and Amin, people with dreams, lives, and families who love them deeply. Israel war crimes, including collective punishment, attacks on civilians, and the obstruction of food, water, and medical aid, major human rights organization and United Nations expert have documented pattern of actions that violate international humanitarian law and have called for investigation, accountability, and an end to these atrocities. The suffering in Gaza is not abstract. It's not distant. It is deeply human, and it is stolen the lives of people like Marwa and Amin and thousands of other those whose have the only crime that was trying to survive. I share their stories today, not only to honor their memories, but to demand that the world see Palestinian people with clear eyes and refuse to accept a reality where civilians are starved, bombarded, displaced, and killed without protection or justice. May the memory of Marwa and Amin be a blessing, and may their stories strengthen our resolve to speak the truth and demand accountability and to fight for dignity and safety for every innocent life. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now we will read the proclamation.
Proclaiming December 9, 2025 as an International Day of Commemoration and Dignity of the victims of crime of genocide and of the prevention of this crime in Multnomah County, Oregon. As a government, those core values include accountability and social justice. Multnomah County is committed to taking action that raises awareness and acknowledge the atrocities of genocide, past and present. In honor of victims, survivors, and affected communities, and to support healing and progress toward a real lasting peace. In 2015, the United Nations General Assembly established December 9th as the International Day of Commemoration and Dignity of the Victims of Crime, of genocide, and of the prevention of this crime.
December 9th, 2025 marks the 77th anniversary of the 1948 Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, commonly referred to as the Genocide Convention, the first human rights treaty adopted by the General Assembly. The Genocide Convention defines genocide as, quote, any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in part, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group, including one, killing members of the group, two, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, three, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Four, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. Five, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. This landmark treaty arose from humanity's collective horror at atrocities committed, such as the Holocaust, which serve as reminders of the depths to which we can fall when the world turns a blind eye to suffering, and signifies the international community's commitment to never again.
Today, as the county marks the adoption of the Genocide Convention in 1948, we are reminded of the solemn promise, never again. The genocide in Namibia, Armenia, and Europe during the Holocaust, in Cambodia, Bosnia, Rwanda, and Congo, along with the present-day genocide in Myanmar, Gaza, and Sudan. Treaties, principles, and ensure an end to impunity.
The Genocide Convention does not simply condemn genocide. It obligates states to act, to prevent, and to protect. It places a legal and moral duty on governments to identify and respond to the risk of genocide, whether it arises. Yet, too often, states have failed this duty. History has shown that failing to act in the face of atrocity, crimes, allows the unthinkable to become a grim reality. On this day, as we reflect on the lessons of the past, we must also act for the future. The best way to honor the victim and survivors of genocide is to take action together. We call for an end to the suffering, an end to the impunity, and an end to atrocities. Should I keep going with the Multnomah County Proclamation, December 9, 2025, at the International Day of the Commemoration and Dignity of the Victims and the Crime Genocide and the Prevention of the Crime in Multnomah County, Oregon, signed state.
Thank you all for both sharing your stories, your perspectives, your insights, very touching, and also for all being here today. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to, after we sign the proclamation, we invite everyone who's here to come join us, who wants to stand in solidarity for this proclamation. Because this is the last proclamation today, I want to thank everyone who came for the three different proclamations. If you'd like a copy of the signed proclamation, we can get it from the board clerk. And we look forward to welcoming everyone back on January 14th from noon to 1 p.m. for next month's ceremony. And we're going to adjourn. And after we adjourn, we'll take the photo. But again, thank you, everyone, for being here today.